From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, it's nice for me to meet you. For the next 60 minutes, we are going to present you some segments beginning from news, commentary, and other songs. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. G20 members increase partnership amid coronavirus outbreak. The U.S. President Donald Trump hold his first official trip to India. Now the news in detail. Executive Director of Bank Indonesia's Communication Department, Oni Wijanarko, said members of the G20 have agreed to strengthen partnerships among nations to help recover the global economy amid the coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak. It was said by Oni in a statement received on Monday, February 24. According to him, G20 members have agreed to implement a shared effective monetary, fiscal, and structural policy making. This was mentioned in the meeting between the Indonesian Finance Ministry and central bank governors of G20 nations in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Other global issues that pose risk to global economic growth include geopolitical tension, trade tension, and policy uncertainty. Bank Indonesia Governor Pariwarjio supports the G20 presidency in regards of the development of the domestic capital market and underlines the importance of economic resilience as its starting point. In the financial sector, Oni Wijanarko said that G20 nation central bank governors and finance ministers agreed to focus its effort upon strengthening the financial system through financial sector reform and technological utilization. North Korea has quarantined 380 foreigners in a bid to stop the coronavirus from breaking out. The foreigners are mostly diplomats stationed in the capital Pyongyang, said news agency Yonhap, quoting the Korean Central Broadcasting Station. Around 200 foreigners had already been confined to their compounds for the past 30 days, but as that came to an end, the quarantine has been extended. There have not been any reported cases of COVID-19 in North Korea. It's not known how long the new quarantine for foreigners will last. North Korea has not confirmed any cases, but there are clearly fears of it spreading as the country shares a border with China. All foreigners coming into the country must be quarantined for 30 days. North Korean authorities have also cancelled the annual Pyongyang Marathon, which typically sees people from all over the world participating. Around 3,000 people in North Pyongyang Province, a northwestern region bordering China, are also now under monitoring for reportedly showing a suspected symptoms, said state media. The Indonesian government will soon evacuate its citizens from the Diamond Princess cruise ship that is currently docked in Yokohama, Japan, with passengers quarantined due to a coronavirus spread. A meeting is set to be held on Tuesday, February 25th, to determine whether the Indonesians working aboard the British cruise ship will be evacuated via air or sea transport. It was said by Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi in West Java on Sunday, February 23, in supervising the Jakarta-Bandung fast train project. According to Minister Budi, the two evacuation alternatives that are available are the KRI Dr. Soeharto Floating Hospital and an undecided mode of air transport. Based on the official report from the Indonesian Embassy in Tokyo, there are 78 Indonesian Diamond Princess crew members aboard the cruise ship, with four of them tested positive for coronavirus transmission. The infected Indonesians are currently treated in a local hospital. U.S. President Donald Trump is due to begin his first official trip of India with a focus on deepening ties between the world's two largest democracies. Donald Trump will arrive in Gujarat, home state of India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi, where he is expected to address a rally at a cricket stadium. He will then travel to Agra to see the Taj Mahal before arriving in the capital Delhi for talks with Mr. Modi. Despite growing political and strategic ties, there's been tension over trade issues. In June 2019, the U.S. ended preferential trade status for India, the largest beneficiary of the Generalized System of Preferences, GSP, a scheme that allowed some goods to enter the U.S. duty-free. The two sides have also differed over price controls on medical equipment and India's new rules on data storage. The trade deal was likely to resolve some of these issues, but just days before the visit, Donald Trump announced that he will save the big deal for later on. Reports say negotiations continued between the two sides until last week, but they were not able to reach a consensus on issues like the restoration of the GSP for Indian goods and India agreeing to open some of its key markets for U.S. goods. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. The Israeli military says it has launched airstrikes against a Palestinian militant group in Gaza and Syria in response to rocket fire. Israel's military said it had struck Islamic Jihad targets in southern Damascus and the Gaza Strip on Sunday, February 23. In a rare acknowledgement of a strike on Syria, the Israeli military said it targeted the hub of Islamic Jihad's activity. Syria said its air defenses shot down most of the Israeli missiles. Four people were wounded in Gaza, health officials said, but there have been no immediate report of fatalities from the Israeli strikes. Islamic Jihad claimed responsibility for the rockets, calling them a response to the killing of one of its fighters along the Gaza border. Islamic Jihad, which is backed by Iran, is one of the strongest militant groups in Gaza. Violence between Israel and Islamic Jihad flared up last November when an Israeli airstrike killed a senior commander of the militant group in Gaza. Clashes between Israeli forces and Palestinians were seen earlier this month, 2 days after U.S. President Donald Trump unveiled his peace plan. Indonesian citizens in Brunei Darussalam on Sunday, February 23, participated in the commemoration of the 36th National Day of Brunei Darussalam. Around 130 Indonesian citizens who wear traditional clothes and batik in the event attract the audience's attention. The Indonesian Embassy in Bandar Seri Begawan, through a statement, explained that the Indonesian delegation in the parade was led by the chairperson of the Indonesian Community Association, Muhyiddin Umar. Around 27 Indonesian embassy staff members and teenagers also wearing traditional clothes from Indonesian regions such as Aceh, West Sumatra, Jakarta, and East Nusa Tenggara. The Indonesian delegation in this parade walked through the street of the capital city of Bandar Seri Begawan, along 750 meters from the Sultan Haji Hasan Al-Bolkiah Foundation building towards the Raja Pier. The parade ended at the Taman Haji Sir Muda Omar Ali Saifuddin to give the regards to Sultan Haji Hassanal Bolkiah, the royal family, Brunei's highest officials and the diplomatic corps in the honorary tribune. Meanwhile, Indonesian Ambassador to Brunei Darussalam Sujatmiko appreciated the participation of Indonesian citizens and Indonesian embassy staff who helped enliven the Brunei National Day parade and demonstrate the richness of Indonesian culture through traditional clothes of various shapes and colors. The last item, Labuan Bajo, which is a popular tourism destination in East Nusa Tenggara, Indonesia, was featured at a tourism expo called Belgrade International Tourism Fair, which was held in Belgrade, Serbia, from February 20 to 23, 2020. The Indonesian Embassy in Belgrade, in collaboration with the authority agency of Labuan Bajo, Flores, featured Labuan Bajo at the annual exhibition. It was affirmed by Secretary Wan overseeing economic affairs at the Indonesian Embassy in Belgrade, Tri Aryadi, to Antara London on Sunday, February 23. The promotion of Labuan Bajo at the expo helped Serbian people get more information about the tourism potentials in Indonesia besides Bali, since most Serbian people and travel agencies are only familiar with Bali. The Indonesian Embassy in Belgrade also disseminated other destinations to the visitors, which are part of the Indonesian super priority destinations, namely Lake Toba, Borobudur Temple, Mandalika, and Likupang. The Indonesian Embassy in Belgrade viewed that the Tourism Expo is a strategic platform to promote Indonesian tourism destinations. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is The U.S. Removes Indonesia from a Developing Country. Well, listener, the United States, through its Office of U.S. Trade Representative at the World Trade Organization, WTO, removed China and Indonesia from the list of developing countries. Besides both countries, there are three other countries that have also been removed from the list, namely Brazil, India, and South Africa. The five countries are declared as developed countries in international trade. The decision of the U.S. Trade Representative Office requesting the World Trade Organization, WTO, to exclude Indonesia from developing country status officially came out on February 10, 2020. So what are the pluses and minuses for Indonesia by the changing of status from a developing to a developed country? For some people, it might be considered an achievement. This means that Indonesia can be equalized with the United States or other European countries. Is that true? In terms of trade, Indonesia's rising status as a developed country has several consequences. Take, for example, there is removal of the generalized system of preference, GSP facilities, or relief of import duties on imported goods to United States. The GSP facilities are only given to least developed countries and developing countries. In addition, in several trade agreements, developing countries are also often get technical assistance from developed countries. With the change in the status of Indonesia from a developing country to a developed country, Indonesian privileges will naturally be lost. The United States might increase import duties on Indonesian goods to the United States. On one hand, bearing the status as a developing country is indeed profitable in terms of trade because imported goods from developing countries to developed ones get lower import duties. This rule is intended to help these countries move out of poverty. On the other hand, Indonesia must respond wisely to this status change decision. Upgrading the status of Indonesia to a developed country might erase various facilities, especially related to trade, which has been obtained by Indonesia as developing country. However, Indonesia must view this decision in a positive way. The ease that Indonesia has received so far in form of relief of import duties on goods may have tempered Indonesian export performance abroad. Indonesia seems to be spoiled with various facilities provided by developed countries. Changing the status of Indonesia to a developed country and the loss of various facilities as a developing country are expected to weigh up Indonesian export in a bid to improve competitiveness and improve the quality of Indonesian products abroad. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto said the government was not worried about the impact of the change in status. He said certainly has ways and strategies to deal with the consequences faced by Indonesia after the status change. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Listener, for the next segment, we present you Today in History about historical events.
Voice of Indonesia.
Our regular program Today in History starts from an event on February 24, 1920. Labour Party of Germany changed to be Nazi Party. National Socialist Labour Party of Germany, or known as Nazi Party, was a political party which existed in Germany. The party was established in early 1920s and its headquarters was in München. Previously, the party had named Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, or German Labour Party. A name of the party was changed on February 24, 1920, after Adolf Hitler to take leadership of the party. Official symbol of Nazi was swastika. Next event is that in 1946, Juan Perón was chosen as president of Argentina. On February 24, 1946, Juan Domingo Perón was elected as president of Argentina. He was a controversial figure of Argentina. In 1943, as soldier, he joined in coup d'état to overthrow the government at the time. In 1944, he was appointed as vice president and minister of war. A year later, he was overthrown from his position and jailed, but at insistence of laborers and employees who supported him, Perón was freed again. The last event is that in 1991, land attack at Gulf War began. On February 24, 1991, the United States of American force and its allies launched an attack to Kuwait, occupied by Iraq. The war ended within 100 hours later. Overall, during the war, the number of the U.S. soldiers which were killed reached 148 people. Meanwhile, more than 20,000 soldiers of Iraq were killed. As a result of the war, some sides requested President Bush to continue the attack to Iraq and overthrow President Saddam. Bush, in his speech, encouraged Iraqi people to rise up against the dictator, President Saddam. Meanwhile, privately, he hoped someone in Iraqi military would overthrow him. Listener, that was Today in History.
Yeah, GAC. own 7-8. Seberapa pantas kakak untuk ku tunggu? Cukup indah karirmu untuk selalu ku nantikan. Membuka kau hadir dalam setiap mimpi burukku. Oh, membuka kita bertahan di saat kita jauh.
Seberapa hebat kau untuk ku banggakan? Cukup tangguhkah dirimu untuk selalu kuandalkan? Oh, mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Oh, sanggupkah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang?
Silakan.
Mampukah kau bertahan dengan hidupku yang malang? Oh, selalukah kau meyakinkan di saat aku bimbang?
One song entitled Seberapa Pantas by Gamaliel, Audrey, and Chantika, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you information about our program, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on President Joko Widodo opens Serayon Factory in Palawan, Riau. President Joko Widodo inaugurated an Asia-Pacific Rayon textile factory in Pelalawan Regency Riau on Friday, February the 21st. In his speech, President Joko Widodo said that he was surprised to find out that the Asia-Pacific Rayon textile factory has sophisticated technology to produce 200 million industrial plant seeds in the form of acacia and eucalyptus. He also admired the factory technology which converts wood fiber into rayon-type textile. The president said that the government of Indonesia is committed to supporting the investment climate because many people do not realize that the business community is very large in favor of the circulation of money and also the wheels of the economy. Therefore, he asked Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita to support the development of the Indonesian garment industry to go more globally. On this occasion, President Joko Widodo also sent off containers with over 10,000 tons rayon fiber for export to Turkey and 12,000 tons for shipping to Central Java. He appreciated the Asia-Pacific rayon investment, which supports the development of the national textile industry. In addition, the presence of the Asia-Pacific rayon is also expected to be an alternative to reduce dependence on imports of textile raw materials, especially cotton. On that occasion, Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said that optimizing the use of textile raw materials originating from within the country is very important in improving the performance of the textile industry and Indonesian textile products. According to Minister Agus Gumiwang, the ministry is currently carrying out several steps to continue to improve the performance of the labor-intensive industry to improve the competitiveness of the textile industry and textile products. He has endorsed many aspects. One of them is to facilitate the availability of domestic raw materials. Meanwhile, Director of Asia-Pacific Rayon Basri Kamba said that the presence of Asia-Pacific Rayon could have a positive impact on employment and business opportunities for small and medium enterprises in the upstream, downstream textile and textile products industries. Besides Turkey, he said, the Asia-Pacific Rayon products were also exported to 14 other countries, including the world textile markets such as Pakistan, Bangladesh, Vietnam, Brazil, and a number of countries in Europe. In addition to exports, Asia-Pacific Rayon production is also intended to meet the needs of domestic textile raw materials. Well, that was my Indonesia Today on President Joko Widodo opens Rayon factory in Palawan, Riau Province.
Berikan padamu segalanya, hanya kehadiran untuk selalu ada, bahkan jika harus saat ini juga. Tunggu di sana sejenak saja. Oh yeah, ku akan ada untuk bersamamu.
Arman Maulana with his song entitled Tunggu di Sana or Waiting There. And you're still with us on Indonesia Today. Don't forget to also join our next program about tourism, which is Indonesian Wonder. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you to Tegalwangi Beach in Bali. Bali has many beautiful beaches. One of them is an exotically hidden beach in Jimbaran called Tegalwangi. Tegalwangi Beach is quite hidden because it is covered with a lot of big rocks. Due to its isolated situation, Tegalwangi Beach is quite rare to be visited. Tourists who come to the beach usually enjoy relaxation or avoid the city's hustle. The beach is quite unique. In spite of having the name Tegalwangi, the beach is not located in central Java because the Balinese language means plantation. So, Tegalwangi means fragrant plantation. In addition to being tourism object, the beach is also used as a place of implementation of Melasti festival. Melasti itself is a self-purification ceremony to welcome Nyepi festival by Hindu followers in Bali. On the special day, the local people will come together to pray at the Tegalwangi. You can do a lot of activities at the beach, such as enjoying sunset on the cliff, swimming, or playing sand. Is located on Jalan Tegalwangi Jimbaran Village, South Kuta. The access to the location is easy because the road to the beach has been paved. You can use personal or rental motor vehicles to access the beach. If you go from Ngurah Rai Airport, it only takes 40 minutes by motor vehicle. Meanwhile, from Denpasar, you take only 1 hour to access the Tegalwangi Beach. Our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring the Tegalwangi Beach in Bali. Tomorrow we will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Dalamnya hatiku tak bisa dimengerti.
Dalam
Just listen to a song by the group titled Bawalah Daku, and you're still with us in Indonesia Today. Don't forget to give us your comments. And for the next segment, we are going to give you our program, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Mencari tempat kos or looking for boarding house. Listen to this conversation about mencari tempat kos or looking for boarding house. Kevin asked Pak Imran about boarding house located near the campus.
Pak, tempat kos yang dekat kampus ada di mana ya?
Ada di Jalan Pemuda. Kevin mau mencari tempat kos dekat kampus.
Iya, Pak.
Mari saya antar ke sana.
Baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Tempat kos. Tempat kos, which means boarding house. Mencari tempat kos. Mencari tempat kos, which means to find or looking for boarding house. Antar, which means to take. Tempat kos yang dekat kampus ada di mana ya? Tempat kos yang dekat kampus ada di mana ya? Which means, where is the boarding house which is close to the campus? Mari saya antar ke sana. Mari saya antar ke sana. Which means, come on, I will take you there. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means, thank you. In the conversation, Pak Imran asked for Kevin by saying, Mari saya antar ke sana, which means, come on, I will take you there. The word mari is used to ask for someone in a formal context, such as to someone who had just met, boss or teacher, etc. The expression mari saya antar ke sana means that Pak Imran asked for Kevin to Jalan Pemuda, for example, to look for a boarding house near the campus. Now let's listen to other examples. Mari makan, which means let us eat. Mari belajar, which means let us study. Besides the word mari, we also can use the word ayo to ask for someone to go somewhere. Usually, the word ayo is used in an informal context between friends and younger people. For examples, ayo makan, which means let's eat. Ayo belajar, which means let's study. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pak, tempat kos yang dekat kampus ada di mana ya?
Ada di Jalan Pemuda. Kevin mau mencari tempat kos dekat kampus.
Iya, Pak.
Mari saya antar ke sana.
Baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Kesamu bingung. bersama pelangi ku menari menyambut bebas hati ini. Tiada lagi yang mampu menghalangi, aku takkan berhenti melangkah. Tiada lagi yang mampu menghalangi, aku takkan berhenti melangkah. Kezamu
for still joining us, and that was a song by Abdul and the Coffee Theory. To give you more Indonesian music, let's listen to the following program, which is Music Corner about Indonesian music. Stay tuned on Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a Keroncong song titled Tanah Airku, which was composed by Kelly Puspito. The song Keroncong Tanah Airku describes a story of the beauty and wealth of Indonesian nature. Towering mountains, hills and green forest, river which empties to the blue sea. That is Indonesia, which is blessed with abundant wealth of nature and beautiful panoramas which becomes proud of its people. Listener, let's listen to the song Keroncong Tanah Airku by Indra Utami Tamsir. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ku jatuh cinta kepadamu. Saat pertama bertemu, salahkah aku terlalu mencintai dirimu yang tak mungkin mencintai aku. Tuhan, tolong aku langsung jatuh cinta kepadamu. Cinta pada pandangan pertama ya, cinta yang bisa merubah jalan hidupku jadi langsung jatuh cinta kepadamu. Cinta pada pandangan pertama ya, cinta yang bisa merubah jalan hidupku jadi
Sana. Thank you very much for joining us, and don't forget to give us your comment to our email address voi@voinews.id or other social media, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much and have a nice day.